The following message was recorded live at Crossroads Church, a grace-centered community in Central Alberta.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. It's this question. What does Christmas mean to you? What does Christmas mean to you? To some people, it's family. Other people, it's friends. Maybe it's parties and music or lights or food, and all of that's really, really good. To some people, it's receiving gifts. You know, I was driving down the road with my grandson about a week or so ago, my daughter's son, and I'm not sure if he joined the dots completely, but he made this statement. He said, when I was growing up, or when my mom rather was growing up, when my mom was growing up, they were very, very poor. I thought, oh, didn't know that. And he said, you wouldn't believe this, but she would only get one present at Christmas. Not really? And then he was quiet. A few minutes later, he said, I don't think I could handle less than 15. You know, some people, it's receiving gifts, and that's good. Some people, it's giving gifts. But you know, there's other people, for Christmas, it's the time of year they'd rather avoid, because it for some people, it's the worst time of the year. It really is. You know, they have their Christmas gathering and dinner, and there's an empty chair there that was filled last year. Or, you know, many years ago, the table was full, but not anymore. It's a lonely time for a lot of people. I was in a store yesterday, and I was going through the checkout, and the girl was, I gave her my card for my purchase, and I was praying there'd be enough left, you know, room on the card and all that. And I asked her this question. I said, are you ready for Christmas? And she said, I have nothing to get ready for, nothing. She said, my husband's gone. My family doesn't want to come. No friends are coming over. She said, I have literally nothing to get ready for. She said, I'll probably go home and just put my feet up and watch TV. And I thought, that's tragic, but it's also reality for a lot of people in our world. And when you think about Christmas, what I want you to understand is that Christmas is for everybody. Whether you got lots of family or friends, or whether you're just on your own like that dear lady, Christmas is for everybody. And I want to show you what I think is the heart of Christmas. And it's from the Bible in a place called John 3:16. Now, I don't know if you ever heard this before. It's the most famous verse in the Bible. If you watch NFL football, in the end zone, you have some guy usually with a sign up that says John 3:16. That's this. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the heart of Christmas. Christmas is about something God did. Not necessarily what we do, but what God did, he gave his son. When did he do that? Well, we were singing about that. It was just over 2,000 years ago in a town called Bethlehem. And I want to read you just a little bit of the story about the night that God gave his son Jesus. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That might be an understatement. But the angel said to them, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. What I'd like to think about with you for just a very few minutes is the two words, first two words from heaven after the birth of Jesus. First two words. These two words can literally change your life forever. They're these words, fear not, fear not. Those are the first two words from heaven after Jesus was born. The angels came and they announced them to the shepherds and to three other individuals. A man named Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and shepherds. The angels appeared and in each case said, fear not, fear not. You never read about angels much in the Bible again until after Jesus is raised from the dead. So I thought what it would be helpful, maybe, I hope, is to just quickly talk to you about each of those three people and the shepherds that heard the words, fear not. Because I think those words are as relevant today as that first Christmas. And we need to hear them today more than ever. Fear not. Don't be afraid. So there was Zechariah. He was the first one to get the announcement, really, that the Messiah was coming. And Zechariah, we were introduced to him and his wife Elizabeth, and they were defined this way. They were righteous and blameless. Doesn't mean they were perfect. It means that they were, well, what we would call good people. They were just really good people. And then the other thing about them is they were very old and they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. They were old, had no children. Elizabeth was barren. Most of their life was behind them, not ahead of them. And I can't, you know, get my head completely into them, but I was thinking about what it must be like to be Zechariah. Here he is finishing out his course, as it were. The major hopes and dreams of his life, they hadn't happened. And now there would be no chance of ever having a family. That they would have got married like everybody else with all the excitement and expectation and desire for a family, but nothing. And now it's a distant memory. And if you met them, they'd probably be happy. They'd welcome you into their home and you wouldn't think much more about that. But deep down, there'd be this deep disappointment in their hearts that life hadn't turned out the way they'd hoped it would turn out. And it was to that man with those deep, deep disappointments that God came and said, fear not. Here's God. He's moving to save the planet, the world of people. But the first thing he does is go to an old man and an old woman and just say to them, fear not, fear not. You know why? Because God knew that their best was still to come. What he announced to them was spectacular. They were going to have a little baby boy and he'd be the forerunner, the announcer of the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. You know, I don't know where you're at, but you may live with some deep disappointments. You may think, you know, what I had hoped for can never happen, and it might never happen. And maybe your best years are behind you. But you know what God says? There's a beautiful place in the Bible where it says, with God, a day is like 1,000 years. Think about that, a day is like 1,000 years. It's a way of saying, if God has to, he can take a day and pack 1,000 years of living into that day. I mean, you might not have as much time left as you think. He can pack 1,000 years of living into every day that you give him. This is a big, big God, the God of the impossible. Zechariah, don't be afraid. Then if you flip the page a bit, you'd read about Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus, and when you read about her in the Bible, Mary's probably 13, 14 years of age, somewhere in there between 12 and 14. That's kind of her age. That's when girls got married back then. She was from a small, close-knit community where everybody knew everybody and everybody's business, and they all supported each other. And she was at home one day and probably dreaming about her wedding, like every girl that's engaged. She was engaged to a man named Joseph. She would be dreaming about the wedding and the family and the friends coming and the reception, which in those days would be a week long. Like, we're not talking about an evening reception. We're talking about a week long thing. So you better have some money because the food and the wine and the music, it flowed for a week. And Mary is just, she's so excited about that and then thinking about establishing a family in her tight-knit community. And then the angel walks into her home. The way it's written up in the Bible, it literally says he came into her home. Heaven came down into a 13-year-old girl's home. And the angel said, Mary, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You're going to be the mother of the Messiah. You're going to be expecting, and not from Joseph, from the Holy Spirit. What would that do to you? You don't have to be 13. I mean, that would wreck you. Imagine what Mary would have thought to herself. You know what? I don't know what the future will hold now. Will Joseph divorce me? How would he ever understand? What about the shame? What? Where's my place in the community now? And Mary knew from that day on, her life and her family would never be normal again, ever. Wouldn't be a normal family. Yet God says, Mary, fear not. I find that so encouraging, don't you? I mean, if your family's not normal, if you're not, actually, what family is normal? Can you think of any? I can't. We're just a bunch of ragamuffins and we're all just broken to one degree or another, but it's such a comfort to hear God say, fear not, I got you, and I got your family, Mary, and I know what I'm doing. And then there was Joseph. He was the one that was engaged to Mary, and he'd probably be in his early 20s. He was a blue-collar worker, a carpenter by trade, just getting his business off the ground. Probably just had the finances put together, and he knew in this community he'd be established and find a place. And then the devastating news that the angel brought when the angel appeared to Joseph, and he said, Joseph, listen, your fiance, she's pregnant. And it's not you, but Joseph already knew that. It's from the Holy Spirit. And you try and figure that out. Joseph, I don't think he could. He would have been devastated. But the angel said, Joseph, don't be afraid. Fear not, Joseph. Joseph would be like people today who, they have all their life before them. Mary and Joseph had their life ahead of them. Zachariah and Elizabeth had it behind them. And Joseph, he would have had his dreams and his hopes, and it was all gone now. He'd be like someone that just got a devastating health diagnosis where life will never be the same again. They have all their plans, and yet maybe this is the last Christmas. Joseph would go through what a lot of us go through when we lose somebody we love when it's way too early. There's grief, there's sadness, and then the anger, and then the discouragement, and then the depression. This would be Joseph. And it would hit hardest probably in the middle of the night. That's when fear hits the hardest, the middle of the night, when you're all alone and all this stuff comes crashing on you. And yet God, through the angel, says, Joseph, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I know all about this, and I got it. Oh, and the shepherds. These guys out in the fields at night, common folk living a humdrum life, just hanging out with sheep. It, the best you could say about shepherds was they were good shepherds, but other than that, they weren't necessarily that good. In fact, that's probably why they were out there, not in here. They were, Josephus, the historian, says you couldn't use a shepherd in a court of law to be a witness because they can't be trusted. They were always confusing mine with thine. They were, well, in a word, they were sinners. And everybody knew it. And yet, heaven opened up. And instead of raining down judgment on shepherds, man, it was just pure good news. Don't be afraid. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born for you. And they knew that they needed a Savior. And some of us know that too. I mean, we get caught up living inside the outside image of ourselves. And, you know, if somebody really knew what was on the inside, man, that'd be tough, wouldn't it? What if we were going to put our life up on the big screen? I would be out of here so fast. And you might too. But you know what? God knows it all. And yet, instead of judgment, he says, I have good news for you. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born, and he's Christ the Lord. These words, fear not, are for everybody, man, woman, young, old, rich, poor, shepherds, good people. This fear not is for everybody, for you, for me. We all have our fears. We all have our stuff. All I want to get through to you tonight, to your heart, is this, that God is not against you. He's for you. He sent his son to be the Savior of the whole world. And he says to you, fear not, because you know what? I've got you. I've got it covered. Jesus grew up. And at 33 years of age, he's nailed to a Roman cross. And the sin of the world, let's personalize it. Your sin, my sin, was placed on him. And he paid our debt fully, completely. And just before he died, he said, it is finished. Another way of saying that, paid in full. How would we ever know that was true? Well, 3 days later, He's stone cold dead in a rented tomb. Then somebody pushes the stone aside and he walks out alive. And God raised him from the dead. The resurrection was God's affirmation of everything that Jesus said and did. That was the most life-changing, world-shaking event in all of history when God raised Jesus from the dead. And everybody today that looks at Jesus can say, you know what? He really was and is and always will be the Savior of the world. Well, what struck me reading those accounts was how personal it was. Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, to the shepherds, to you. Like it was personal, up close personal. And they received that word and it changed their lives forever. How does it become personal for you? Like, how do you connect that dot from this story a long time ago and these two words from heaven so that it becomes yours? If I could go back to that text I read at the beginning, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, here's the word, believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Can I give you a couple of clues as to how to connect personally with Jesus so that you know that there's nothing to fear? The shepherds, when they heard the story, they said, let's go and see the baby. That's what you need to do. Check out Jesus. Just check him out. Maybe you put this stuff aside. You've heard about him. You've never given it much thought. Why don't you check him out? Why don't you read the story and see what you think? You know, here at Crossroads, starting in January, we have a course called Alpha that runs for 10 weeks where if you're just checking out Jesus and not sure about anything, you can come. We meet on Tuesday nights. We have supper, and then any question goes. Any question goes. And it's like Christianity 101. You could check it out there. So check him out. Find out who he really is, what he really did. Second thing, believe on him. Believe on him. What does that mean? Well, what that means is not just have some intellectual assent to some facts, but it's a trust, a heart trust. I trust personally Jesus Christ to be not just the Savior of the world, but the Savior of Dan Cochran. And you put your name in there. That's how it becomes personal, when you trust him. And then join the rest of us and follow him as best we can. We're following him. We're together learning how to walk in the way of the Lord. And it's a long journey, but I'll tell you what, it's a good journey. And it's one that leads to hope and joy and peace and heaven and eternal life. There's nothing like it. I hope this Christmas that you'll take time to ask the question, who is Jesus? And checking that out, you'll actually get to the point where you put your trust in him, because that's when it becomes real. When a person receives eternal life, they get a new heart. They find out that, you know, he really does give forgiveness of sins and hope and peace and joy. And that's our prayer for you this Christmas, that you would know him personally. What is Christmas to me? In a word, it would be Jesus. That's who it is to us as a church, it's Jesus. That's why we speak Jesus. We talk about him here. We don't just talk about God, we talk about Jesus. He was God in the flesh. We speak Jesus over our families and our community and everywhere we go, we talk Jesus because we know that we found someone that's big enough for everything that we're going through, whether it's health issues or COVID issues or everything else, he's got it. His other name is Emmanuel, which means he's God right here with us. And he's big enough for everything that we'll ever face. And so many times in your life, you'll hear him bend down and he'll say to you, fear not, for I'm with you. Don't be dismayed, because I'm your God. I'll strengthen you and help you, and I'll hold you up with my righteous right hand. Let me pray, then we'll worship a bit. Father, tonight, thank you again for the gift of your son. And if you hadn't done that, we wouldn't even be here tonight. We're just grateful to be here. Thank you, Lord, that you, the words that you spoke, fear not, weren't just for shepherds and Zechariah and Mary and Joseph, but they're for all of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.